Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Albert Breer is going to jump on board with us today. One of the leading names covering the National Football League. Albert Breer with the MMQB. He's been with the NFL Network, widely regarded, respected with the draft on Thursday. We're going to talk about Shelby Miller, and the Diamondbacks have a really interesting decision to make about him. It involves Archie Bradley and other moving parts. ESPN's layoffs are going to start tomorrow, and they are talking now. The Washington Post just a couple minutes ago put out a story. It's going to be several big names. So, Eric, last week we had Brock on the show. And, you know, Brock's an ESPN employee, and Brock does great work, and we hope that he weathers this storm and comes through it okay. But did you pick up on when we were going through the interview with him how Brock was effusive in praise for Colin Cowherd, who works over at FS1?
I was not, no.
Okay, I picked up on
that. I wasn't here that day. I didn't hear all of the interview.
That's right. You were at the Cardinals.
Yeah, I was at the Cardinals, so I'd only heard the edited for TV show part of that.
Yeah, I picked up on that, knowing what's going on there, that everybody and their brother is fearing for their jobs, unless your name is Sam Ponder, who's going to be doing the NFL pregame show, or your name is Mike Greenberg, who's going to have his own show. He's going to leave Mike and Mike. That's going to go away. But the Washington Post just put out a story with big blaring headline that could be much larger layoffs than expected. So starting tomorrow. And we have several friends that are there. Pedro is there, of course. We hope that he's okay, and many, many others. So
I know some of the people on the .com side have already been told they will not be coming back.
Yeah,
Paul Kuharski, who does a good job covering like the NFC East. I saw on Twitter that he's not going to be back. So,
well, and you, what they're telling these guys is, look, you can stay here for pennies on the dime. And some of these guys are walking in and saying,
the NFC South, excuse me, not NFC, the East. Go ahead.
But no, but some of the employees are walking in and saying, I will take as big a cut as possible because I just want to keep my face out there associated with ESPN while I'm still looking for work. And they have the ESPN local guys here, right? Aren't there?
What do you mean by that? The ESPN local
guys. Isn't there like the Cardinals have?
Josh Weinfuss.
Yeah.
And Pedro, the only two that I know that live here.
Keith Law, right?
Does he live here? I don't know.
I thought he did. But anyways, this isn't backstage stuff here, guys, because, you know, our industry, I've seen this tidal wave coming for months, over a year now, and the mouse got pissed over at Disney, and now hell's going to come to pay this next few days. We're going to be talking about some really interesting side stories of people you would say, well, that guy's really good or that girl's really good. Yeah, it doesn't matter. All that matters is you're an employee ID number for a big company like that. So they're no different than anybody else. And they're going to try to do it where it's NFL draft week. Of course, let's bury this story. We're going to make sure that Jabril Peppers' test is going to come out, and we're going to make a big deal out of that while we blow out half our staff. So, what a shock. Peter King released his mock draft. Did you see Peter's draft, Eric? He doesn't like, he's not big on mocks. He's got Jonathan Allen falling all the way to the Cardinals. I think I would do that.
Peter's not a draft person per se, but he talks to enough draft people.
Right.
Like his forte isn't covering the draft, but he is in the right circles. He could probably figure out as good a mock as anybody.
I'm sure. This isn't denigrating him. It's just that's not his space. Some people, Mel Kiper cannot go out and do what Peter King does.
No.
There's no way. So I get that. And so Peter's just, you know, the draft is the draft. It's kind of like where I'm at on the draft. This is really interesting for the Cardinals because I'm going to talk to Albert Breer about this in a few minutes. They could take a quarterback and they could pass on a couple of impact players that can help them this year. They do not need a quarterback this year. Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald want guys that can play this year, I would think. If you're really not that far away and they believe that the window is still open, then you would want to get it going for this year, not 2018, 2019, 2020. So is all this stuff about Patrick Mahomes just a smokescreen? Which direction do you go? I'll talk to Albert Breer about that in a few minutes. Later in the show, I'm going to talk about, if you've not been paying attention on this, we do high school and college, and we do it really well. It's one of our staples of many. And one of the things we do is recruiting, because college fans want to know who's next. And I see the traffic, I see the interest, I see the backstories of these players. There's a quarterback in our state. You may not be aware of him. If you are really inside baseball, you know the name Tyler Shuck. If you're just a general fan, you know Hamilton High School because they've been part of this hazing story. And if you know more than just the hazing story, you know that that's one of the powerhouses in the state. People go to Hamilton to be discovered by colleges. Tyler Shuck was offered this morning by Georgia. Tyler Shuck has been offered by Nick Saban at Alabama. Tyler Shuck has been offered by Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. But Tyler Shuck has not been offered yet by Arizona or Arizona State. So what gives? I'm going to get into that about 10:35. Eric was out there yesterday, and he saw Shuck for the first time in person. I've seen a big kid, I mean, big, strong kid. I don't remember a player. Connor Brewer had interest from Alabama, interest. But Connor ended up going to Texas, didn't work out there. He went to Arizona, didn't work out there. Committed to NAU, didn't work out there. Went to Virginia, didn't work out there. I don't recall a quarterback. Brett Hundley wanted to go to UCLA. I'm thinking of in-state quarterbacks. Like Kyle Allen blew up big time. He went to Texas A&M, didn't work out. Now he's at Houston. The coach he committed to has left Houston. Doesn't mean it's not a good fit for him at Houston. Brian Lewerke's at Michigan State playing for Mark D'Antonio. My point on this is I don't know if the quarterbacks of the past have gotten the sincere interest that this quarterback has gotten. Like, we're going to release a documentary next week on a quarterback here in state that I think is very well done. And the quarterback is Spencer Rattler, and we've been following him around for 4 months and not being creepy about it, but one of our staff has decided to go do a deep dive, and it's 20 minutes, and it's really good. That player may end up becoming the most celebrated quarterback we've had come out of our state. But we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. I think that where that story is interesting. The Diamondbacks, though, man, again, last night was must watch. Like my wife, I tell her I'm in my office, I'm doing some stuff. Hey, the game's on. Yeah, but Dancing with the Stars is on. I don't want Dancing with the Stars. I don't need Dancing with the Stars. I don't like Dancing with the Stars. I'm just kind of done with Dancing with the Stars. This is more reality here than if somebody can do the tango or somebody's doing image rehab over on ABC. I don't need image rehab. I need elbow rehab, it sounds like, for Shelby Miller. Shelby Miller is going to be meeting today in Los Angeles with a group. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound as though we're going to see him in just a couple of starts. And this is, hey, this team is 13-8. This team is, in my opinion, and sure, they play the Padres a lot lately, and the Padres aren't good, and Greinke did what he was supposed to do last night. He just mowed right through them. But if you take Shelby Miller out of the rotation, he has been more than serviceable so far this season. So later in the show, we're going to talk further about what do you do there? If you take Archie Bradley and you move him out of the bullpen, suddenly you weaken something on your team that has been a strength. And I think as the season progresses, I'd rather have my bullpen be the strength. If Shelby Miller gets examined today and it comes back that it is not significant, which I would be stunned by just based on how everybody's reacting down there, then maybe having Archie Bradley in a start spot, or maybe having Zach Godley come down from Reno and have him pitch for one start or two starts wouldn't be the worst way for them to go. But you don't want to take one weakness, one hole, which is losing Miller, and then create another hole with Archie Bradley on one hand. The other hand is they're pitching deep in the game, so Archie's just sitting down there. So it's really interesting on that front. Golden State last night. We don't need Steve Kerr. And Portland rolled over and had their bellies scratched. Portland didn't care last night. I mean, that game was over. It was 35-11. like these players that want to come out and talk a good game. Damian Lillard, we're going to take care of business. Damian Lillard is a terrific player. And everybody and their brother on a team is going to say, yeah, we're going to go beat that team. When you get swept and you get beaten down and Kevin Durant's really not playing that much and you give up 46 in a series and their head coach isn't playing, you got embarrassed. You got humiliated. Enough with the talk. Show up, do what you're supposed to do. Well, all the gnashing of teeth about is LeBron getting older and Cleveland this, and are there problems with the... And what did they do in their first round series? They just went out to Indiana and mopped the floor and moved on. It's like these early round playoff series. It's terrific to watch playoff basketball. I love playoff basketball. But I'm not going to watch Washington play against Atlanta, even though there's a couple of former Suns there. That's just not going to drive me. I don't really care about Toronto and Milwaukee for extended periods of time in my viewing habits. But I do care about watching Utah take care of the Clippers. I think if you look at a story of what the Suns should be chasing, look at how Utah's been built. And you're going to say, oh, it's Utah. Yeah, they don't have State Farm commercials like Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan. But guess what? They've got the Clippers on the ropes, and it's another year where the Clippers are all style and pizzazz and disappointment. They've lost Blake Griffin. They're probably going to be done, and Doc's probably going to get fired. I'd rather have a boring vanilla basketball team that makes the playoffs every year like Utah. You don't think Joe Johnson was a visionary there? I'm Joe Johnson. I can go anywhere. I might even be a Hall of Famer. I could go to any big media market. I can go play with LeBron. I can go to Chicago. I can go to Boston. I can go play for the... I can go anywhere I want. But I'm going to go to Salt Lake City. I'm going to go to Utah. And if you watch Utah closely, and I'm sure most of you haven't, it's just not on the viewing docket, they're really good. They're really good. You have to give them credit. Adrian Peterson going to the Saints. It's one other NFL thing I didn't get into. And would you take Jabril Peppers if you're the Cardinals? Is he a guy now you just cross off the board? So there's a lot going on, and up next we'll get into the draft further with Albert Breer. Albert Breer from the MMQB, one of the best insiders in the business, Albert Breer, with the NFL draft on Wednesday or Thursday. Who are, in his opinion, should the Cardinals be going after? Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, we have 14 airings this week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. That's on Fox Sports Arizona. We appreciate their partnership. We appreciate the partnership of AZ Central Sports, the Arizona Republic. 3 years strong now. They came to us and said, we want to carry your show. Here we are. Appreciate that audience too. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Joined now by Albert Breer, senior reporter, MMQB, the Monday morning quarterback. Terrific content. We have Peter King with us every week during the regular NFL season. Always good to catch up with Albert when able. Number 13 for the Arizona Cardinals on Thursday night. In your view, Albert, the name that should be read, or a couple of names that should be read, not will be, but should be read if you're a Cardinal fan.
Well, I mean, I think that there are two positions to pay attention to and be cognizant of players at if you're there, and I think they'd be quarterback and cornerback. And so, if I had to project what's going to be there, I'd say Patrick Mahomes is a real possibility. And then, you know, you want to look at what they like at corner, the bigger, longer corners. There are a lot of them in this year's draft, and so there'll be an opportunity to get a really good player there at 13. And so if I had to guess right now, I'd say it's Mahomes or one of the corners.
When you look at Mahomes, what jumps out at to you and from your intelligence, people you've talked to, versus the other quarterbacks, Albert?
Well, the interesting thing about it is there is a scenario here where it could wind up being Cleveland or Arizona for Pat. And, I think the interesting thing about that is that I don't think there's any question that the best thing for him would be to sit in 2017 and learn behind a veteran quarterback and have a chance to rework some things fundamentally because he's got a lot of talent. He's a great kid. He's smart. He's got a lot of the things that you want. He's just very, very raw. Mm-hmm. And so generally the best way to learn and to rebuild yourself to some degree isn't to go out there and get hit for 16 games. Right. You know, it's to kind of learn in the background and rework some things and you know, be able to take all those reps without them being disruptive with game action. And so, you know, if you consider the possibility he goes to Cleveland or the possibility he goes to Arizona, you have to think that, you know, Cleveland's obviously the quicker path to playing time. But being able to go to Arizona where there will be no pressure on the Cardinals to play him, and Carson Palmer's there for 2017, you know, that would seem to be an ideal situation for him. And I think that there are a few of those for him, you know, whether it's the Giants or the Steelers. There are teams that like him that have veteran quarterbacks in place where you could certainly see, okay, this situation makes sense for him because the team in question isn't going to be under any pressure to play him.
He's represented by Lee Steinberg, of course, has a good relationship over here with the Cardinals. What are some of the intangibles that fans may not know of the Cardinals about Patrick Mahomes from your view?
Well, I know, I mean, one of the big things that's come up with the guys that I've talked to or paid to evaluate this stuff is he can take hits, you know, and that at Texas Tech, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a backyard offense, and, you know, his job was to create. And so he's got that intangible, and he's got the intangible of toughness, and he's a smart kid, and he's a good kid, and he seems to love football. I mean, there's a guy who could have been, like his dad, a professional baseball player, and chose football because he liked it better, you know?
Right.
And so I think you add up a lot of the things with him and, you know, knowing people who've gotten to talk to him and have put him in that interview setting, everybody seems to come away liking him, you know? And so, you know, it's always a little dangerous when you say, when you look at a kid like this and you say, well, you know, he's going to figure it out. Because there do have to be things in place. I mean, Jake Locker was, you know, in 2011 was the ultimate example of that. I mean, just a prince of a guy, you know, like a great, great, great kid who just wasn't accurate enough and wasn't a good enough passer. And, you know, a lot of teams looked at him and said, well, this is a great kid. He's smart. He'll wind up, you know, he'll wind up figuring it out. And he just, and he didn't have the ability to, you know. And so it's always dangerous to play that game with these guys. But this is one guy that, you know, when you look at the person, I think, you know, teams have come away pretty impressed. And that gives them the at least the good feeling that all the work that he needs to do to turn himself from, you know, very raw prospect into a refined NFL quarterback, you're not going to have any problem getting him to do all of that work. Now, whether or not he can pull it off and rebuild himself the way, say, like an Aaron Rodgers did a decade ago, that remains to be seen. But I don't think there's any question that he's willing to put in the work and he loves it enough to really try his very best to make it happen.
Talking with Albert Breer, senior reporter, the Monday Morning Quarterback NFL Draft is on Thursday. A couple thoughts here. We saw Arizona take Matt Leinart, and it absolutely set the organization back because it just didn't work out. We saw Bruce Arians and Steve Keim take Logan Thomas, didn't come close to working out. You can't miss, obviously, on a quarterback in the first round, one. Two, you could very easily make the argument that cornerback is more of an issue over here than it is quarterback.
Yeah.
If you're drafting the quarterback, Albert, are you saying to Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald, look, this may be the final year over here. We think we're a playoff team, but we have enough pieces in place. Is the better message to draft the corner because it's the need to get them through 2017 and perhaps have that postseason for Fitz and Carson? You know my point here? You can go both ways.
Yeah, you know, and that's the, you know, that's the way it, I mean, look, I, you know, this is the way it is for San Diego and the way it is for the Giants and the way it is for the Chiefs and the way it is for the Steelers, where, you know, that there's two sides to this argument. One,
right.
You're right. Like, there's the idea when the guy's in his 30s, you want to load up and you want to do everything you can to take advantage of the window that you have with a veteran quarterback because you might be back in the wilderness in a few years looking for one.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side is that, you know, you don't want to be pigeonholed into a single year trying to find one. And, you know, the worst thing that can happen is a guy walks away and now all of a sudden you need one and you force that need and you wind up with Brock Osweiler, you know, or you wind up with Christian Ponder, or you wind up with one of these guys where you can look at the team and say, that team said at the beginning of this offseason, we're going to find a long-term answer at quarterback. It's not like they grow on trees. You can't find one every year, you know? And so I think part of the whole thing for all of these teams is when your quarterback's getting older and he's getting into his mid to late 30s, you have to start to look at every single quarterback class, because it's not like there's one available to you every year. And so, you know, that's why the Packers decided in 2005, we're going to draft Aaron Rodgers, because Brett Favre's getting up there in years, and we don't want to be stuck where he walks away and we're holding the bag, and we're going to make a bad decision as a result of being pigeonholed into a single year. Same thing with the Patriots. 3 years ago, they have Tom Brady, who, you know, I certifiably at the time is a top five quarterback in the NFL. They spend a second-round pick on Jimmy Garoppolo, mm-hmm. and they come back last year, 2 years after that, and spend a third-round pick on Jacoby Brissett. It's just – it's smart business because, you know, again, like if you want to give yourself a 4 or 5 year window to go and find one, you have a much better chance of hitting on one than you will if you pigeonhole yourself into a single year, which, I mean, if you really think about it, isn't really a difficult concept to grasp.
No, I got you. I got you on that. Before I let you go, and we're talking with Albert Breer, senior reporter, MMQB, the draft on Thursday. Where's the drop-off in this first round? We always hear it's after 8 picks, 10 picks, 15 picks. Yeah. From your view, where's the drop-off in talent?
That's the unique thing about this year's draft is I don't know if there is one. You know, it's different in that, and this is why I think it's going to be hard for a lot of the teams to trade down. You know, and look, you know, the Niners at 2, the Bears at 3, the Titans at 5, the Jets at 6. All those teams want to get out. All those teams want to trade down. And the problem is twofold. One, there's not the quarterback that's really pushing the market there, and so that's obviously an issue. But the other part of it is that the draft at the positions where it's really good, it's also deep, you know? And so, yeah, Marshawn Lattimore might be a shutdown corner, but there are, I mean, maybe 12 guys in this draft who are going to start next year, you know? Hmm. And, you know, yeah, like, you know, OJ Howard's potential to be an all-pro tight end, but there are good tight ends into the third and fourth round. Running back, same thing, you know? And so, that's what's made it very, very difficult for teams to trade down, is that there isn't that cliff that you see sometimes, in that it's, you know, after, I mean, and I would tell you this, you know, if 30 of 32 teams have Myles Garrett as the first pick in the draft, you might get 15 different opinions on who's number two. Mm. It's just one of those years where it's, you know, there's a lot of strength. The positions that are strong are also deep, and the positions that are weak, you know, you're really going to be scratching throughout the draft for. So it's a unique draft in that way, and it should make it exciting. I mean, I think it makes it a little bit less predictable, and we could see, you know, a guy or two go higher than we expect on Thursday night, and then a guy or two slip out of the first round that we didn't see coming.
Last question, and that is the view of Arizona and where they're at in the NFL, and every draft is important, I get that. But for Steve Keim and Bruce Arians, what's the view of what's going on out here?
Well, I mean, obviously the last few years they've had a great run of success, and I think a lot of the way people on the outside look at the Cardinals is tied to the age of the two guys you mentioned, Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald. And so, you know, I think a lot of people look at it and say that's their window. You know, what if you don't stop there, what you can find is that, you know, there's a defense that should be on paper just coming into its prime, you know, and coming into, you know, when you look at where they've invested in Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson and Chandler Jones, like there's talent there to where if you can fill it out, you can add a little depth. It should be a really, really good group. And so, you know, I'd say that on the offensive side of the ball, there's no question that the coming years is going to be some transition. The challenge, I think, for the Cardinals is as the defense gets better, finding a way to maintain a certain level on offense where, you know, you're going to be able to be as good at that on that side of the ball as you are on defense. And then, of course, you know, there's the question of how much longer Bruce Arians is going to coach, which, you know, I think at this point is a year-to-year proposition.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I appreciate your time and insight as always. Thank you, Albert.
You got it.
Albert Breer there, MMQB, senior reporter, the Monday Morning Quarterback. And we're back with more after this time out. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Sports360AZ.com. Kratz and Smap with you. Our TV show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Tomorrow and Thursday as well. And we do this every day from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And it runs over and over and over and over, which is great. Appreciate you all being with us. Appreciate our sponsors that have been with us since day number one or those that are coming on board. We appreciate those that sponsor us. It helps us do what we do. Larry Fitzgerald is in the news cycle, and as usual, it's something that you didn't know about Larry, and that it just says to me even more that he's got the right people around him. He's got very, very smart people around him, and that he's going to do just fine in retirement. This story came out this morning from Condé Nast Traveler, and the headline is, "Why NFL Wide Receiver Larry Fitzgerald Started His Own Travel Company." We've got it. And yeah, so Fitz is going in the travel agency business. What a great picture that is. So in the story, Fitz has visited 93 countries. Eric, if we were to add up the number of countries combined you and I have gone to at this point in our lives, we wouldn't be at 93, right? Let's see, I've been to China.
I've been to three, I think.
I've been to China. I've been to Mexico. I have been to just countries.
Canada?
I've not been to Canada. That's it. I was in China for, I've been to Korea. No, I'm going to take it back. I've been to Indonesia when I was a kid. I went to Indonesia. My dad was working over there. So never been to Europe. Have no desire to go to Europe. I don't have that much of a desire to be a world traveler. But Fitz has been to 93 countries. So now he's going to open a travel agency. This is a guy that has gone to Tanzania. This is a guy that in the story, how he's been to Vietnam and he actually stayed at the home of his tour guide who didn't speak any English. And the tour guide talked about how his dad was in special forces fighting for the Vietnamese army against the United States. He didn't speak any English, but for 2 hours, this guy translated battle stories to me, and I was captivated. So now Fitz is going to go into this business, and I'm sure if Larry opened up about his portfolio and what he's got going on in there, I would think very, very little of it would have to do with sports. I know last year, it was last August, we sat and did a TV piece. And I'm not one of those guys. Larry actually asked me, he says, "I don't see you in the locker rooms as much as I used to." I said, "Well, I've got the show, and I also don't find that there's anything really interesting there anymore because you guys are kept to a minimum. You've got 20 people around you all wanting hey, is it going to be a tough game this week against the Redskins?" And I don't care about that stuff. No offense to those, that's their job. But it's very hard to go in depth about, "Hey, so are you doing anything with Condé Nast?" while somebody is saying, "What's it going to be like playing the Cowboys in week three?" So I'd much rather get to know the person. And there'll become a space where I can talk to him about this. But, man, that's really interesting to me. And he arranged for a friend of his in this, arranged for Fitz to meet with CIA operative in Russia and set up a samurai sword lesson in Japan. Typical stuff, right? Stuff that we can all do.
He'd be great to follow around for a day, Larry Fitzgerald. Just from the time he wakes up until the time he goes to bed, I bet that guy crams about a week's worth of activities into a 24-hour span.
When I was doing the TV thing, I went to management because he was doing a water well deal over in Africa. And I said, "Hey, I think we should go tell this story." And of course I got, "What does this have to do with football?" No, catching a ball is far more interesting than seeing him interact with people in Africa, dopes. Of course, that news director got fired with all the others. It's amazing because I think Larry is into that sort of thing. I think he likes being a private person on one end, but I also think he likes showing some stuff to a point.
And every offseason, he crams his schedule with exotic trips. I mean, if you've gone to 93 countries, clearly you spend a lot of time traveling. But he doesn't just kind of hang out at the house, go play around the golf, get a workout in. It's okay, I'll be here on these dates and I'll be back for 3 days and I've got a speaking engagement and I'll be on a plane going across the world somewhere else. It's just the way he is.
The pair launched Nomad Hill. That's the name of Larry's company. Nomad Hill. But, you know, in travel in this day and age with millennials, you just go to Airbnbs. It's not like you got to stay at five-star resorts. I mean, I can imagine if I were talking to him, how many floors have you slept on? And he's probably slept on dirt floors. He doesn't care. I don't see him as being the guy that's got to be the total diva in that regard. But it's a really cool story. Something else I've been getting quite a bit of email about, and it involves a quarterback in high school. Now, I care about pro sports as much as college sports, as much as high school sports. I have different levels of care. As I said earlier, I don't really get into how many balls a guy caught. I care about more the person. I think that's far more interesting and entertaining. They've got to be able to produce on the floor. They've got to be able to score their points or set the picks or get the rebounds. It's not all about if you win a championship or not. Sometimes it is the best story is going into the losing locker room. Sometimes feeling the pain of somebody as who is a considered star or superstar, you'll get to see the real person, how they deal with adversity. It's just the way I'm wired. When it comes to high school and recruiting, that stuff can be over the top. But when you have players that are being recruited on a national level, fans do care. Alums do care. Parents do care. So there's a quarterback here in our state. Eric, would you say that he is Tyler Shuck over at Hamilton is now on the Kyle Allen, Connor Brewer, Brett Hundley? If we're talking about quarterbacks that are at the highest of highest ends in our state in the last 15 years?
I would think by the time spring practice ends and by the time we get to the beginning of the season, he will have just as much hype around him as all of those marquee quarterbacks.
Okay, so he's been offered by Alabama. He's been offered by Michigan. So Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh, we want you. You went out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
First time that you'd seen him. What did you think?
Just in watching that clip right there, he throws the deep ball like he's throwing a screen pass. I mean, the ball really spins right off his hands. And he looks the part. And I think what has to have these coaches in college most excited is you see him. And he's about 6'3", 6'4", and he has that frame to be 215, 220 pounds really easy by the time he gets in the weight room and gets on a college campus and gets in their nutrition program and training table and all that good stuff. He's an impressive kid.
Okay, so Michigan has offered him, Alabama's offered him, Georgia offered him this morning, but Arizona State hasn't offered him.
Interesting.
And U of A hasn't offered him. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't.
Does it befuddle you on this one?
A little bit. But I also have heard some things about the ASU coaches in town that aren't the most positive. And I think, just in speaking in generalities, that they've missed on some kids that they should have offered. They just didn't.
You're searching for the right words to say. Like you don't
you've put me
trouble.
In a. You've just put me in a really weird spot.
I put you in a bad spot.
You actually did.
No, I didn't. Okay, so my view on this is,
I don't know what's happening inside the walls of ASU. You would probably have a better idea than that. But
well,
there has to be some
obvious
reason. I mean, there has to be some reason why they didn't.
I think
offer
this is pretty
kid
obvious to me. They've offered somebody else. Here's the thing on recruiting. If you offer him, they've already offered somebody else. If you offer him now, after you've already offered somebody else that you're about to get, that Todd Graham is interested in, and then you don't take him after you offer him, that's bad. That's a bad mm-hmm. look in state, okay? That just doesn't look good to the high school coaches in state. I don't know, because the kid has met with ASU. The kid has been on campus at ASU. He threw for ASU last Friday. I was there. Billy Napier was there. I was there. And they still didn't offer him. So there has to be another quarterback somewhere in the country. Could be in Texas, could be in Utah. And so when you have that space, and I get these Sun Devil fans saying, well, how good is he? I don't know. I saw them play last season a couple of times on a Friday night. I'm not out at high school games every Friday night. But when I saw him, he clearly was very, very good upside. I've gotten to know him a little bit. I would say that he is somebody that I wish I had a daughter still in high school and that he would show up and take her to prom. Okay. He's that kind of kid. Very polite, very, very well-mannered.
And college football, Brad, in terms of recruiting, is a lot like going clothes shopping with my wife.
Ew.
My wife will go to a department store.
Don't do it.
And she will pick out, I'm not even kidding you, 15 things. So she'll have 15 things in the cart.
She'll go in a changing room.
And then she'll go in the changing room, and then that 15 gets pared down to about 8.
You can't go.
And then she'll be walking, we'll be walking towards the register,
oof,
and that 8 will turn into about 5. And then by the time we get to the register, that 15 could be as little as 3 or 2. When it comes to recruiting, these schools just throw out these offers, and then it just seems like they sort of pare down.
Is it a bad look? Is it a bad look though for ASU that they haven't offered him?
I think so, especially because ASU made such a big deal out of staying true and the billboards, and there's no need to leave the state. We play in a great conference, and we're building.
But they
something
can't get everybody.
Here.
They can't take everybody.
No, but they have done very well. I mean, N'Keal Harry, Todd Graham's done a good job. Yeah, he's missed on some of the bigger, more high-profile players like the Kyle Allens, like the Christian Kirks. But
kids going to Washington.
Yeah, but it's evident that you're going to get two kinds of kids coming out of high school. The kinds that want to stay and play in Arizona, and then the other ones that have no intention of playing at ASU or U of A, and they're going to go play somewhere else on a much bigger stage.
But don't you think that...
But if you don't offer the kid, I don't even know how you know if he even wants to
okay,
stay.
So let me flip it around on you. Let me flip it around on you. Let's say Arizona State today calls and says, we are offering Tyler Shuck.
And if I'm Tyler Shuck, I'm looking at that situation, and I'm like, how many quarterbacks do you guys have right now?
Okay, so there's that, which is true. Are you put off at all that they finally offered you?
A little bit.
See, I think...
Like you said, Brad, I mean, if you've got Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, all the other schools that have offered them, what more proof do you need than those schools?
But if you've already offered a quarterback, are you handling your business the right way if you're Todd Graham? Well, I've already offered one scholarship. Now, I need to know from you, sir, from Texas or Utah, are you going to be coming to play for us here on campus?
But that's the risk you run, because that kid doesn't have to decide today, tomorrow, or next week where he's going to play.
And because it is a high-profile school, there's going to be other high-profile kids that come out of that program. And you've got to make sure you don't tick off everybody over at that program or the high school coaches in general here in the state. Because I always hear that. I heard that with Dirk. I heard that with Dennis. I haven't heard that as much with Todd, although there's some that have said, yeah, he hasn't shown up on our campus for a year now. I've heard that around.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. So, you know, he's leaving it up to his assistant coaches.
It's a delicate balance. It's.
But, man, fans are sending me notes on this deal like, what is the problem over there at ASU? And I'm thinking, if he's already offered one who he believes is better, then he's better not offering if he gets that guy. But if this kid is going to be everything and he lets him get out of the state, and you look back 4 years from now, 5 years from now, though, in my humble opinion, I don't think Todd's going to be here. He's either going to move on or they're going to punch his ticket and push reset. One or the other is going to happen in the next 2 years over there. And they do have a slew of quarterbacks. There's going to be some attrition there, from my understanding.
There's going to be
some attrition there in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Kids are going to start transferring out.
It's going to happen.
You can only play one. That's the problem. I mean, if you're a wide
receiver. Last year, they could play four.
But, I mean, if you're a wide receiver and you're one of five, you could see the field all the time. If you're a quarterback and you're one of five, you may not play the entire season. That's the reality of it.
All right. Up next, we're going to go. I want to circle back on the Diamondbacks, because I don't think I really put a bow on where that situation is, because that's a delicate situation. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. And we're back with more in a minute. All right, before we get out of here, so 13-8 for the Diamondbacks. Tonight they have the Padres again. It's nice to play the Padres for four games at home. And Corbin is throwing tonight. Corbin's been averaging about 3 runs a game and giving up. The Diamondbacks again last night put up more than 5 runs. They just keep doing that every game. And Chris Owings had a grand slam. What was interesting last night is Goldschmidt did not start a game. And he hit a home run on Sunday. So here's Torrey Lovello saying that, you know, we're going to, we figured 5 days ago that we were going to give Goldschmidt that Monday off. Now, in the past managers that have been here that have come and gone under Paul Goldschmidt would never leave the field. It's like Torrey Lovello last night coming from a winning environment. Remember, this guy has won. Doesn't matter to me. He's bench coach. He's been in a winning environment. He knows how to put something together on the field for sustainable longevity here. Zach Greinke, he may be mowing him down. He's got 11 strikeouts. We've got a 7-1 lead. He's thrown six innings. Goodbye. Get him out of here. None of this complete game stuff. I don't think he needs another incentive in his contract filled. I think the decimal point is fine where it is. And I like that. I like the fact that Goldschmidt didn't play last night. I like the fact that you can send a message to everybody on this team. You're going to get a day off here, and you're going to get a day off there. And you know what? If we're going to put Chris Herman down at first base and he's trying to field a ball with a fork rather than a glove, then we're going to deal with that. I think that builds a better team. This is a guy that is here managing and the general manager that have won. So they're not sitting here in April saying, we got to just roll it up. No, you don't. So they go in the bullpen last night. It's a 7-1 lead. Bring up this poor kid Bracho from Reno, and he wasn't good. Did you see Bracho last night?
I didn't, no.
You were on Dancing with the Stars last night?
No, I was asleep very early, good,
really?
Last night.
Wow. Would you do anything yesterday?
I had a long work day yesterday.
Really?
Not a bad one, just a long one. So
Bracho comes in. He brought in his can of gas and some matches. He didn't bring in his glove and his ball. And the poor kid actually was caught on camera with his back to the camera when he was pulled because he had given up most of the lead. With Mike Butcher over putting his arm around him, like he was informing him, somebody ran over your dog, son. We are sorry. It was a very sad shot last night. Didn't work out well for the young man. But they were able to win the game. And when you have Chris Owings doing something offensively, and he hit a grand slam last night, there's a lot there to like. The Diamondbacks, not only are they scoring a bunch of runs, guys, they're sixth now in the National League in earned run average. I will take that. I know it's not in the top five as some would like it to be, but let's be honest, from what we've seen in years past, come on, it's pretty darn good. Let's find out more about Shelby Miller today. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website that you can check out right now. Pro College, high school college pro, makes no difference to us. Things that we see, a little bit off-center, things that we do here on a daily basis, a little off-center, and that's by design. We like to disrupt a little bit, have some fun here while we're doing it. Our chairman of the board today has been Jared Nielsen. Jared is rested and relaxed. He's feeling really good. Edwin Rodriguez is over there as well. He didn't screw up today either. Eric Sorensen, our Senior Executive Vice President of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day. Jordan Hamm, Haley Stasiak, and a cast of thousands. We appreciate you being with us. Thanks again to our sponsors. Without your support, we're not here. We appreciate you, too. Have a good day.